Okay, fun seekers, we got a treat for you. In the last presentation, we highlight a sample mutual fund out of 12,000 mutual funds, the Investment Company of America. And there are a few reasons why we chose it, but most importantly, we chose it for its longevity. Now, it's not the oldest mutual fund, believe it or not, but it's one of a few handful that have been around for over 90 years. And so we're going to take a look at how well it's done and how sometimes well it is, how it is sometimes not done so well when the markets have fallen, and seeing what has happened over those 92 years. Now, I know that you're going to say, I don't have a 92-year time frame, you know, Piano. Well, some of you young folks, maybe you're going to be living that long or longer. We'll see. We'll see. Technology is advancing at a very rapid pace. And so for you, eventually, you're going to want to take a look at these other illustrations, and there'll be a presentation for these. But let's take a look at 92 years of investing. Now, this is called a hypothetical illustration, or just sometimes called an illustration. They are throughout the financial services industry, the life insurance companies use them, the mutual fund companies and brokerage firms companies use them. And so they have to be vetted by the Securities Exchange Commission, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. So what you're going to see are all these disclaimers. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are the deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. This is all there because the lawyers are trying to lawyers make us put this stuff here to warn you that this stuff is not a bank, right? This is it's going to go up and down. It might go down, 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 down. But do you think anybody reads it? No. In fact, it's very useful. This stuff, all this stuff on these pages, all this stuff. If you ever have insomnia at night, dear students, we want you to simply start reading one of these illustrations or the prospectus or whatever, and you will fall fast asleep. So anyway, here's all this stuff we have to worry about. And finally, let's get down to the good things. Now, I don't know why they do this, but the industry uses $10,000. Probably something the Securities Exchange Commission decided a million years ago. Somebody puts $10,000. How many people you know but got $10,000 lying around the house to invest, right? Most of us are going to put $50, $100 a month away. But that's the next series of illustrations. But let's do what the industry tells us what to do. And this mutual fund started way back in 1934. Believe it or not, it actually started several years before that, in the later 20s, 1920s. But what happens when a mutual fund changes hands and somebody else starts managing it, they reset the clock. Right? They reset all the data. So even though this ICA has been around longer than 92 years, it's been managed by this same company. They're called Capital Group. And some people call them the American funds. And they're not the only ones, folks. There's lots of them out there. Don't get me wrong. But they're just one of the bigger companies. And they've been, you know, doing a pretty good job for nine. They're not all alone. There are others. You'll see as you go through Chapter 2. And so we put $10,000. Now, remember, these were the A shares. You, if you have a financial advisor, are going to, you know, pay some kind of commission or assets under management fee. And we'll see a different presentation about that. So let's do the A shares, because over time they're going to be the cheapest for us. But if you decide you want to be your own financial advisor, you could get a brokerage firm Schwab. I know for a fact Schwab will let you buy the F2 shares for American Fund. So there you go. I'm sure other brokerage firms will let you do it too. Now, if you want to have a broker, if you want to have a financial advisor, a financial representative, whatever you want to call us, you're going to pay the commission. You're going to pay the assets under management fee, which is normally more money over the long term. But anyway, you wound up paying about $575 for this privilege here. So we started in the depths of the Great Depression. And sure enough, it went up and then it went down. And it went up and then it went down. And then we had World War II. And it went down, down, down. And then in World War II, it went, after World War II, it went up, 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 and way up. Until it went down in, what was it, 1962 or so? 1962, it went down, right? But really, it looks like it's a lot of money, doesn't it? until finally in 1972, right before, at the end of 1971, we had over $1 million. So it took almost 40 years for us to take that $10,000 and turn it into $1 million. And then in 1972, it was $1.2 million. And then there was the ferocious bear market of 73 and 74. And 2 years later, you had $840,000. Right. I wish I could give you better news, but this is what investing in stocks is going to be like. And this is what you're going to hear people. At the end of 1972, what did you hear people say? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Because the stock market has gone in two directions, up and way up since World War II. And then in 2 years later, you heard people say, ooh, is it too late to get out? And when you hear people say that, that's usually a good sign for the future. That's the time you want to be buying in. But you know, most of us are just going to be putting $50, $100 a month away. Because look, 2 years later, you were over what you had at the peak in 72. So this is what investing in stocks is like, folks. It's a roller coaster sometimes. And so that's why we say, Warren Buffett, no, I'm quoting Warren Buffett, investing is simple, but it ain't easy. The simple part is intellectual, and you see, hey, well, they've done really well, but the emotional part tears you apart sometimes and makes you wonder, should I get out, should I get out, should I get out? And that's when I believe, as a financial representative, I earn my money. Because that's when I sit down with my clients and or over the phone, and I call it the talk them off the ledge talk, right? Don't panic. We've been here before. History tells us that markets go up and down. And if you really believe the world's going to end, get out of the Northern Hemisphere. But no, I'm very optimistic. So anyway, the 70s were a difficult time, by the way, for our economy. And that was because of several factors. But the most important factor was the baby boom generation coming of age. And all of a sudden, we need more jobs and more housing and cars and shoes. And it was a difficult time for the economy. But then once the baby boom generation came of age in the 1980s, what do we see? New technologies, computers, globalization, the peace breaking out all over the world. And finally, the communists going, you know, this isn't such a great deal. And sure enough, between 1982 or so and the year 2000, the market went in two directions, up and way up, until finally in 1999... And 2000, you had $47 million from your $10,000. And what did you hear people say? Most of you weren't alive, but at the end of the 1990s, the market went hyperkinetic and just zoomed ahead. Everybody was just totally astonished. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, is it too late to get in? In fact, I saved an article from January 1st, 2000. You know, the millennial, and it was such a big deal for many of us, but you guys, many of you don't, you weren't born then, saying, you know what, this can't continue, and he was right, but he was only off by 3 months, because it was March 31st, I think, when it was the peak. It was in March of 2000 when we hit the peak, and sure enough, 2 years later, from 47 million, you had 38 million. And by the way, one of the things I like about ICA, I'm not telling you to go out and buy it, but they hold up better on the downside. They're not the best on the upside, but they're not the only one. Check out the upside-downside ratio in your research on mutual funds. This company and many like it hold up better when markets fall, and they don't do as well when markets go up. But that's okay for me. And sure enough, after 2002 and 2003, and the market went down 3 years in a row, we came back. Sure enough, here, 2003, 48, almost 49 million. And then the bomb came. 2007, $70 million. 1 year later, 46. Yeah, the global financial crisis, the Great Recession. We were looking at the abyss. And by the way, it wasn't the stock market that did this, folks. It was the bond market, as we'll see later on. The bond market being far larger than the stock market and far more important, in my humble opinion. Of course, it doesn't get as much press as the stock market. But yeah, Bonds got in a lot of trouble. And actually, it wasn't even the bonds. It was the real estate. It was the bonds that were based on the mortgages that were based on the real estate. When real estate fell 50, 60, 70% or more, yeah, it was the global financial crisis. But it took us a while, but we came back right here. From 2007, we came back by 2012. And then the market has gone in two directions after that, up and way up, although a little bit of a bop in 2022. But as at the end of 2025, December 31st, 2025, that $10,000 had become $402 million. And you say, well, that's ridiculous, but that's exponential growth, folks. If you did the problems in chapter one, you saw that exponential growth over time. The numbers get very large. And this mutual fund has done over 12%. Now, I don't expect them to continue to do this. I really don't. I mean, if you get a growth and income fund that does 10%, oh, by my goodness, so be happy, happy, happy. But they have done 12% over 92 years. Pretty darn good. But they're not alone. Check out the last presentation. You'll see that there are other mutual funds that have been around for over 50 years. Some have done better than ICA. Now, what we want to see is the graph. And notice that the first 40 years, 50 years, because this is an arithmetic graph, you barely see any movement whatsoever. Even though we saw some years when it went up and down and all kinds of crazy stuff, that's because of the exponential curve. And at the end, it goes wee up in the air. That's exponential growth. And that's why we use that logarithmic scale, because if we had used a logarithmic scale, this exponential graph would look more like a straight line, even though there'd be lots of little bumps along the way. Is that cool? Is that cool? Now, am I telling you to go out and buy ICA? Actually, no. Not that I don't think you shouldn't. It's a very good mutual fund. But what's the thing about ICA? And then we talk about it in another discussion here. I'll show you which one discussion. We talk about the whole top holdings. Is that it is a domestic large cap growth and income stock fund. And for people just starting out with a clean sheet of paper, I believe, especially if they're younger and are not worried about those Ferners and not one of the America Alone, I'm sorry, America First, seems like America Alone now, people, the world is global. So I would look at a mutual fund that is similar to ICA, but is global as opposed to domestic. That says, I want to look for companies that are large, have their roots deep in the economy, and are growing, yes, but we also love dividends, especially dividends that are growing. Makes sense? But don't get me wrong. I mean, ICA is a great mutual fund. So check out the benefit of time, worst day, best day, top 75 holdings. But most of you are going to say, well, I don't want to wait 92 years. Right, I don't blame you. So in our next presentation, which isn't there yet, but you'll see it, you'll see what happens when we put $100 a month for 30 years, $100 a month for 40 years. And then my favorite, $100 a month for 40 years, increasing $10 every year. And then for people who are not in their 20s and 30s, people in their later 40s and 50s will come up to me and say, why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago? We do what happens if you only have about 20 years to invest. Still, it's not half a sandwich is better than no sandwich. Okay, dear students, but the news is good. And as I've said, there's no guarantees. We are, the lawyers tell us to say that over and over again. But history is a pretty good, a proxy for what should come forth, assuming we don't die in our own ways, blow ourselves up, major tsunami, earthquake, meteorite, disco returning. No guarantees. But I'm very optimistic for the next 20, 30 years, economically, for investors, globally. I'm terrified politically, but that's a different class. Go talk to your poli-sci professor. Okay? All right. So see you in our hypothetical illustrations for the vast majority of us grunt, working grunts who will invest over 20, 30, 40 years.